Welcome everybody to another episode of the Haunted Vermont Podcast. My name is Paul Dosky, and joining me are two members of the paranormal group, New England Paranormal Researchers, or ENPR for short. But joining me is Ryan and Tristan. So both of you, welcome aboard to the Haunted Vermont family bandwagon, I will say.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
You're very welcome. So, Ryan, we'll start off with you a little bit, because I want to say you're mostly probably one of the head of the group kind of thing a little bit, just right away. We were kind of going back and forth with the email. So anyway, talk to me about, like, who is the NEPR?
Yeah, so we're from Northern Vermont, and I started the group back in 2020. When I left a former group, and I just asked pretty much buddies, like, hey, you want to go to some cemeteries at night? And that's kind of how we got started. And Tristan is, what are you, Tristan? This is your second year with the team?
I've been in for a little bit, but I'm not in the old investigations.
No. So we have the team has own job. Like, Tristan is very good with editing, going through the audio and everything. I'm, I guess, the leader. I find investigations. Kayla, she helps me with that. Devin is the skeptic of the group, so he kind of, when we go on investigations and something happens, he kind of brings us down to earth and makes us rethink things. And Cameron and Nate are pretty much the same. They're not scared of anything. They'll go into any situation and not think twice, which I guess could be kind of bad at points, but yeah, that's pretty much the team.
Yeah, I think every group should have a skeptic. Otherwise, you'll have a bunch of people in one room go like, what was that? Oh, it was definitely this. And usually it's the skeptic that's like, well, they do have ACs on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, I was going to comment that it is always good to have a skeptic. Skeptics are lovely people, anyway, to have around.
As long as they're not, like, you know, as long as they're respectful, I will.
Oh, absolutely. That. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, but I will agree with what Tristan says. They help, like, bring us back to being like, oh, yeah. Like the earthbound layer of it's not always a ghost.
Yeah.
Perfect. So I guess, Ryan, real quick, is you know, if somebody were to ask you what is the reason behind, like, you wanting to form the group to begin with, like, if somebody asked you what is your guys' mission statement, what would you say?
I would say proven that there is something else out there. Like, I have a theory that the paranormal could just be an alternate universe, but it's still there. It's still paranormal. We don't know much about it. So I think our goal is to get that solid proof that all these paranormal investigators are going for, getting the pictures, getting the videos, audio, really anything. And it really, for us, it's going into these places and just kind of, as weird as it sounds, just enjoying it, because it is history that you're walking into.
Right, right. And like, it doesn't matter what place it is, there's always some sort of history that happened behind it. So
yeah,
you know, it's always good to kind of brush the cobwebs off too and kind of know the history of what you're walking into. So that way, if something is going on that you're not recognizing that would be considered modern times, it might very well be from a time when the, I'll just say specters for lack thereof. I mean, I don't want to just keep calling them ghosts, but I'll just say specters for that. They're so used to it being in their time that they have no clue what's going on in 2024 per se.
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, I like the response already. So I guess, Tristan, I'm going to put the question on to you. So in your own take, what would you would like to expect in the world of the paranormal around the, like, these times? So like in your case, if you had to say somebody what your objective was to being in the paranormal field, what would you say?
I guess what you were asking for is like any advice for anyone new that's going into it?
That, or like if somebody were like me, like, you know, like what got you into the paranormal to begin with and that.
Yeah, so it's funny because I feel like a lot of because I started from a young age with the paranormal, and I think it starts a lot this way. Is you'll see shows like Ghost Adventures or just Ghost Hunters or whoever. And I know now it's kind of a different era where YouTube is like a huge thing, and there's people on YouTube doing it, like Zach and Cody. And so when you watch those kind of things at a young age, you kind of get a feel for it. And so I was actually doing a lot of paranormal investigating before I joined the group. Of course, I was a kid, so I would do dumb things like an Ouija board or stuff like that, which don't do Ouija boards, but... yeah, I kind of just got into it because I had a fascination with, it just seems like it's unknown. You don't know if it's like a whole nother dimension. You don't know if it's like just your dimension and these things are just around, or you have nothing, you don't know anything about it. And I think that's what kind of led me to it.
That's a fair answer. So how about you, Ryan? What got you started?
So my grandmother was really into like the witch kind of stuff and the paranormal all one, and I just remember like maybe I was 6-7, the show Ghost Hunters came out, their original. I remember it was every Wednesday night we sat there and we watched it together, and actually one of the episodes got me hooked, and it's Somewhere That We're Going this year. And ever since that episode, I told myself, I'm going to do this. And my parents always make jokes like, you used to be scared of your own shadow, and now you're walking in a cemetery or a dark building at 3 a.m. I'm like, yeah. But I think it's when we do investigations, I don't know about Tristan or anyone else, but at least for me, you got that adrenaline feeling because you never know what's going to happen. And actually, a lot of times, nothing does. I mean, one of our investigation stuff, like a lot of stuff did happen, but yeah.
I would definitely, I want to point out as well, my parents did the same exact thing. As a kid, I would have like night terrors. And so I just developed a lot of fears when I was a kid. And now it's gotten to the point where we risk we have a risk of bringing something back with us. And so like where I live right now, it is haunted. So I'm just used to paranormal stuff. So when we were doing a Conjuring House investigation, my parents were like, I can't believe you guys are going to stay there overnight. And two of our members actually fell asleep in the haunted bedroom. It's just being around it for so long, it's not really that scary anymore. It's more like if you get threatened by a ghost or a spirit, when that happens to me, I want to stay there. I mean, respectfully, if they ask me to leave, I'm going to leave. But like, I mean, there's a line between it being dangerous and it being just completely awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was an incident on our investigation that I think all of us got brought down to earth and were like, whoa, this is actually real. This actually can happen. And it happened to Cameron. And we were all worried, but, and we asked him if he wanted to leave, and he said no, he wanted to keep going. So there is definitely, for new people that want to get into the paranormal, there is the danger side of it that you got to be mindful of.
Indeed. Indeed. And I will definitely agree with Tristan when he said don't mess with Ouija boards. So, yes. Yes. Because I've had one experience myself, and then another time with some friends, and yeah, what to say, I wasn't part of that, but I was the one standing in the doorway watching as it all went on, and as soon as the skeptic let go of the board with his hand, or the eye with his hand, I was just like, well, here we go, already messed up.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was interesting night, and it makes me wonder if that guy still was a skeptic from that. So anyway, so moving forward a little bit, so you guys, you said you have been around for 2020, what a year, I guess, to form Paranormal Group during the COVID pandemic of the shutdown, depending on if you want to call it that, or maybe it was further on in 2020 when things sort of I guess calmed down, I'll say. Anyway, so we'll start off then with St. Michael's College, because before we started, I was talking to you guys about the audio and stuff like that a little bit too, and then I think you might have gotten here on the recording. But anyway, we'll start with that one just a little bit, just because I was having so much of a hard time understanding what was going on, except for maybe one thing, to be honest. But one thing I did notice at the very beginning of that video was you guys did your intro at the, I'm just going to call it the old abandoned like church there on Whipple Hollow Road there. The one that everybody liked to go to for whatever reason. You know which one I'm talking about, Ryan?
Are you talking about the one
right by Amya?
Yeah, can't remember the town, but it's kind of close to Rutland.
Yeah, I don't.
Is that what you're talking?
Yeah, it's Florence.
Yeah, I know where you're talking about. Yeah, that was that picture, I guess, is that was the old team. That was the first team that we had. Almost no one in there besides me, Devin, and I think Colby was there, are in the group anymore. And it was nothing bad. It just, they lived way too far from us. I totally forgot that we investigated there. What was that?
I was just going to say, yeah, I was wondering what you guys dealt with around that area.
Yeah, so story about the church on Whipple Hollow Road. We didn't have access to it. We were actually going to investigate Whipple Hollow, Whipple, I can't say it now, but that road.
The Whipple Hollow Road?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. We were going to investigate there, and someone, I can't remember who, said there's a church down the road that's haunted. I'm like, let's go check it out. And we went there, and we just walked around the property. Nothing too big. And then we got a couple spikes on our EMF meter, a couple voices through the spirit box. And then this was actually the first time we ever encountered law enforcement. They just stopped, and they talked to us for a little while. Nothing bad. They just said, well, unfortunately, you know, we got to ask you to leave because it's past sunset. We're like, oh, okay, you know, not a big deal. And we respected them and we left. But other than that, I can't really, off the top of my head, anything significant happening. I think maybe we heard footsteps in the building, but maybe that's who called the law enforcement on us. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, I've been there a few times, so the reason why I ask it because out of the I'm just going to say 6 times that I've been there, only twice have I had some interesting things happen. Where, like, I used to be in a band back in the day, and we took our photos there for, like, just the group photos and stuff. And during one of the nights of taking the photos, we almost heard, like, a female scream, like, as if a female was dying. But we all kind of were like, that's weird. And then we kind of remembered that there's an animal that can sound like, it's a female dying. So we kind of all were just like, whatever, maybe some animal or something. Or maybe somebody was actually screaming to death. I mean, I don't know, because that road is considered haunted as well with a, like a lady hitchhiker, I think. And stuff like that. So, I mean, who knows anymore? Plus, you got that little swampy area that is also known for the ghostly voices over the water and stuff like that. So, yeah, that Whipple Hollow is its own ghost town in a way. So, it's a lovely little drive, though. The second and final thing that I ever encountered there was it was October 28th of 2011. Me and a couple friends wanted to drive around, and because it was close to Halloween, so we're just like, let's see if we can just go and catch some ghosts on, photos or something or whatever. And so we stopped there. We didn't really get close to the building enough before one of us started to feel sick, which was me. For some reason, I started to feel sick when I got toward that building. And somebody was freaking out because they thought they could hear, like, how did he put it? The sound of, like, chains being, like, dragged across the wall of the building or something.
That's funny that you say that, because now that you say that, that was one of the things that we heard inside the building. Was
almost like a dragging, like, sound of chains?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so weird. But, yeah, lovely story. Yeah, unfortunately, though, like you just said, with the police officers, they kind of been keeping track of that area. So, unfortunately, because of all the break-ins.
And again, if you're new to the paranormal or you want to start investigating, just respect law enforcement. I mean, they're not trying to ruin your night, but we also got to follow the laws. And obviously, we didn't know at the time that we couldn't be there on the property past sunset because there's no signs. So
I don't even think there still is. Not there. No,
I don't think there is either. So, I mean, I guess my advice would be just don't give them a hard time.
Right.
I think the only time I've actually had an encounter with that, and it's not even the same thing, because we were at Highbridge, which is in Milton. It used to be like a suicide spot, but it's also a fishing spot. And so we were doing our investigation, and it was nighttime. And I remember the fishing warden, or whatever his name is, came out and, like, thought that we were illegally, like fishing when we weren't supposed to be. But yeah, no, you definitely gotta respect the restrictions on some places.
Oh yes, because otherwise we're gonna end up like Emily Bridge all over again. So
yeah, exactly.
Don't get me started on that. But all it takes is a couple knuckleheads to ruin it for everybody else, is what I say. But anyway, so yeah. So originally we were going to talk about St. Michael's College before I noticed the intro to that. So I had to ask about that. So anyway, yes, Ryan, so please take over now and talk to us about St. Michael's College, which I believe is the same college where supposedly there's like a carved pentagram on one of the classroom floors, unless I'm getting it confused with another college.
Yeah. So, I don't know if anyone knows where the old church and old theater is, but it's in the fort of St. Michael's College. And if you go through the fort, I mean, those buildings are old. They're really old. And because it used to be a army base. So I actually got permission for us to investigate there because I metal detect too. And me and my buddy got permission to metal detect the properties. And the owner started talking about paranormal stuff. I'm like, well, I'm a paranormal investigator. Is there any chance that we can investigate? He's like, yeah. So we got to investigate, and I remember just sitting there and having almost like this energy go through me. But it wasn't like a bad energy. It was kind of almost excited. Like, because I don't think anyone's really been in there to do anything besides move furniture around or stuff like that. I think they just wanted to be heard again. And it was definitely a cool night to be there. Unfortunately, our night got cut short because we smelled what I can only describe as propane, and we started to get really dizzy. So we had to call security about that, and they told us that the best thing to do was just to leave. We left, and there was one piece of evidence I had, but it was, I don't know what happened to it, but it looked like this mist almost going across the stage in the theater, and then it got to the right of the stage and it just vanished. And I have no idea what happened to that footage, because that was an amazing catch. But other than that, again, we got a couple voices on the spirit box and a couple spikes on the EMF. But, I mean, the two buildings alone are bigger than what they look like from the outside. So we were able to split up. We had four people inside the theater, four people inside the church, and then we would switch.
Yeah, the one piece of note that I have here was at one point, you guys were walking downstairs from, I want to say it was the church area, and somebody were talking about how as they were walking downstairs, they heard something behind them, and then that's when they stopped and listened for a second before they both turned around. So I think one of them might have been you.
Yeah, so back then I was the one filming. And I believe that was my buddy Rick because he's the one that I metal detect with. So he had a fascination with the two buildings. And I believe that was the theater, because upstairs were two bedrooms. And the story goes that there was a fire there, and there was a young nun, and she saved everyone that was in there, but she unfortunately passed away. So we were trying to make contact with her, and we have in the past before we actually got access into the buildings. We used to go there at night and just sit outside since we had permission to be on the property with the spirit box, and we talked to her and all that. But that night, really, we didn't really talk. We didn't communicate with her at all. It was mostly men that came through the spirit box.
Like men as in, like, they work there kind of thing? Like, I don't know, like, maybe volunteer janitors, some sort of, man, I can't even think of the word right now. Like, you know, like, some sort of, like, teachers or something?
Yeah, I'm not, I can't be 100% sure. I guess what I was saying is that men voices. Like, you can definitely tell it was more male than female voices coming through the spirit box. So, right. I don't really know. I would, my guess would be definitely who worked there or someone that lived there, like the military. But yeah, other than that, I don't really know. I don't want to say it was kind of a letdown, because it wasn't. It was definitely an awesome experience to be able to investigate. It just that particular night, we did not get a lot, and I kind of got more excited than what I should, I guess I could say. And that's one thing I'm learning still, is don't get too excited. Don't expect, you know, all this stuff is going to happen, because then nothing.
Yeah, then
will
you're
going
to be, yeah, well, then you'll just be walking away with disappointment, unfortunately, because you wanted something to happen. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, okay. I mean, we can do a little bit of some rundown then, and so that way Tristan doesn't get bored just staring at us on mute all the time. So anyway,
well, I wanted to point out something real quick. When you guys were talking about St. Michael's College, Ryan said that he was metal detecting. I thought he was talking about another investigation, and I didn't know that this was even possible, but this man has been able to pull off going off metal detecting and getting a business inquiry out of it twice. I thought he only has done it once.
That's right, yeah.
So what would the other point then for metal detecting?
Well, it was a recent investigation, the morgue. He was metal detecting, and there was an old property. And, you know, he wanted to go on the old property because there's probably some very cool valuables there. So he was speaking with the owner. Same thing. They happened to start talking about paranormal. Ryan, being him, completely nice and fun to talk to, he got us an investigation out of it. So, yeah, no, that's crazy. I don't know how you're able to do that, but congrats.
Perfect. Perfect. That's always the best times, I swear. So, I guess walk through me a little bit then, Ryan, is so the next one, which as well, I'm just gonna go by my note now, so I don't know which timeline with which, but at one point you guys did the Halloween special at the Wilson Castle. You sent me a video for the Halloween special part 3, and at one point you guys had the camera facing the main entrance, like right by the where you walk in, the stairs are there, and the fireplace is like right behind and stuff like that, just to try to give people an idea where we're talking here, basically like the main entrance. And you're pointing over by like the room that's right by the stairs there, where I don't know if they still do it, but last time I went to Wilson Castle, they had you sit down in this room to watch like a little video before you like went off and did the tour and stuff like that, which was interesting little video, not gonna lie. And anyway, so I don't know if I missed anything with this, but it almost sounded to me when I was watching and listening that something knocked over possibly, and it was almost like there was a sound of a almost like a wind sound, where that's really interesting, as clearly nobody opened up a door. Where the camera was set up, there should not be any open windows or anything like that. So it was really interesting to almost hear like a almost like a wind effect, I'm just gonna say, because it was like a and then that was it, like almost like a, you know, the sound of the wind. And then right at the end of the video,
so I'm watching the video, as soon as you made that noise, I think it was like 35-40 seconds in. I don't know if you picked up my reaction to it, but that kind of scared me because I had it blasting in my headphones.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's hilarious. No, I could not hear it. So, but at the end of the video, the one image that caught me was around the 6 minutes and 20 second mark. It looked like it was a fog or mist. It was behind the door on the left hand side of it. So I guess, you know, talk to me about your Halloween special, and then when you get to that particular part that you want. So did it sound like something did knock over in a wind, or am I also just missing something else?
No, you definitely heard what sounded like wind and something knocked over. And I just want to point out, back then, like I said, I was doing all the editing, and I didn't have the techniques like Tristan does to be able to point out those little things. So I just kind of left it and let the viewers decide if there's something there. So
I'm listening to it back. Before, you can hear you guys talking very, very faintly, but the noise that you guys are talking about is way louder than your guys' like conversation. So it's almost like it happened closer to the camera than where you guys were at.
Yeah, like something following us. Because I think, if I know, we did set up a camera facing the entrance. Behind the camera was the room that we set up base in, but it was down a hallway, the back room.
Not the one with the like the very old record player. The kitchen.
I get you know exactly where I'm talking about. So, I mean, that's kind of down the hallway. So, I guess something knocking over, that could have been us. But the wind, I can't explain that. And actually, our paranormal experience started way before the investigation started. We got to Wilson Castle. Of course, Tristan now can vouch for me. I like to get to places early, sometimes too early. And this was our first big investigation that we'd done. And we thought the castle was locked, because three idiot people, I'm going to call us idiots, were trying to pull it. Oh, it's a push door. So finally got inside, and they still have it, but they have a desk right to the left when you walk inside, and they have a little bell, and they say ring for, I can't remember exactly what it said. It just said ring. And we're standing there, ring the bell, and we heard what sounded like a little girl and a mother. Or at least a little kid and a mother upstairs. We're like, oh, you know, they're still on a day tour. We'll just wait here. Well, then I think it was Devin rang the bell again, and I can't remember his name, the owner.
Denise? Andy?
Not Denise. Andy. Andy came out from the back room. He's like, hey guys, sorry we kept you waiting. And I just remember looking at him and was like, who's upstairs? Like, no one. It's just me and Denise in the whole place. I'm like, someone was upstairs walking around and talking. And he kind of just looked at me with a smile and like, yeah, welcome to the Wilson Castle.
Yep, typical Andy response.
Yep.
Oh, that's funny. So I guess real quick is like, so besides that and stuff, did you guys happen to run into the colonel, like in the kitchen area while you said that's where you set up base? So, from what I've recently discovered, it sounds like the colonel, liked to hang out around the kitchen. So did you not have anything happen around the kitchen area?
I've never heard that story. But it's funny because all the cameras were off. We were getting ready to leave, and we decided to play a little prank on Devin because this was his first big investigation. And we just decided, because in the kitchen, there's two doors, one at the hallway and one that leads right into the dining room. So, I think it was Colby went around to the other side to knock on the door, and when Devin opened it, no one was there because Colby took off the other way. Well, we came back, we told him it was a joke, and then all of a sudden we heard knocking again, and we kind of just froze there, and Devin was like, come on, you guys, you know, the joke's over. We're like, that wasn't us. We're all sitting right here. And I remember we had one of those big yellow flashlights. And again, right before we were about to leave, it kept flickering on and off by itself. So I guess that was really our only experiences in the kitchen area.
So you guys didn't have like the old bell ringing or anything like that? Interesting. Early kitchen bell ringing. Yeah.
Yeah, he did mention that, but we didn't hear anything.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one of the big things that happened was we were walking out from the kitchen area, and we got to where the stairs are, and if you look to the left, you got the patio area. And I remember being like, what is that? And it looked like a shadow walking around on the patio. And I don't know if Tristan knows, but I'm sure you know, that patio sits up high. And it was completely dark out, and there's no way anyone would be able to go on the patio without us knowing.
Right, too much noise.
And not only that, you know, someone brought up the fact it could have been a car headlight. Well, the Wilson Castle sits back far enough from the road, and that road isn't traveled like a main road.
No, but I think they were trying to maybe point out like the that little parking lot area that Wilson Castle does have, and sometimes like Denise or Andy, somebody will kind of drive up to the castle and park on the side near the castle. So maybe that's what they were trying to say. But as far as But as far as you saying where the main traffic is, I completely agree. That is way too far off where you can hear the cars, but they're very faint. And there's no way in hell that the headlights could hit the castle from the main road.
Well, not only that, there was no like headlight surrounding it. It was literally just a shadow going by. It happened so quick too. that I just caught it. What is it called? Side vision. So.
Your peripherals?
Yes. Thank you, Tristan.
Yes, thank you, because I wouldn't have gotten that right either. So. All right. Well, I mean, it sounds like you had some quite a fun experience at Wilson Castle. I mean, I was hoping to investigate, I think it was last year or the year before that. I can't remember, but we couldn't get a full crew to go. So it was just like, not in my budget this time. So, yeah, maybe one day I'll be able to investigate Wilson Castle. But yeah, so let's get Tristan on board. So Tristan, you were mentioning that you kind of joined in later on or something to that effect. And anyway, it sounds like you were part of the Green Mount Cemetery that took place.
I'm looking at a channel, and it turns out there was an old investigation of the Green Mountain Cemetery. It depends on which one you're talking about.
It's probably the old one, then, that we got then. Anyway, so maybe Ryan here will help clarify this, then. If you did do a newer one, then we can go into that. But for right now, for what I saw for a video, which was possibly the old one, was I took down notes saying something about, like, when you guys were talking about the story that is supposed to be going on about the statue in Green Mount Cemetery with Black Agus, there were spikes going off with the EMF every time you talked about the story. You guys did, at one point, whoever was filming, they were talking about their phone getting hit, and you guys ended up getting a response that basically said, "I did." You had the EMF device that was basically acting up and turning itself off every now and then. And then you guys had a possible photo capture at the end, but I could not quite tell what I was supposed to be looking at in the photo, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's definitely the old one. It was actually me and Dwayne. Dwayne is the other founder of the group. Unfortunately, something happened, and I'm not going to go into too much detail, but he is not investigating as much with us. He still does once in a while, but something happened on an investigation. So anyways, we were there by ourselves. It must have been around this time, like early spring, late winter, and I just remember sitting there, and it was almost dead silent all night, and we were only getting spikes on the EMF, and then all of a sudden I heard something hit my phone, and that's what I was filming on, because it was going to be a short video because it was cold. So rather than filming on the camcorder and having to drag it over to a laptop and do all that, I just said, I'm just going to film on my phone. And I heard it hit my phone. I heard something hit my phone. And I told Dwayne, and then that's when all the activity really started. And in the video, you can kind of hear it, but because it was on my phone, you really can't. But it sounded like two females talking towards the back of the cemetery. Or, excuse me, the front of the cemetery.
Right, because you did, right, not to interrupt you, but you did mention, like, oh man, I was just looking over here because it looked like there were two people walking up.
Yeah, I said that, yeah. I heard the footsteps, and then I heard the talking, and I'm like, I think my first reaction was security guards. And because I know they, or not security guards, maintenance, because I know that they have maintenance inside the cemetery there. And I thought they were just going to tell us to leave. And there was nothing. I mean, we even drove around the cemetery after we got done, and there was nothing. But, I mean, even Tristan can say how big that cemetery is and how easily someone could hide in the cemetery without you seeing them. It's quite possible, but that was definitely, it kind of made my hairs on my arms stand up a little bit, because you're hearing a disembodied voice almost. You don't know where it's coming from.
Right. And that cemetery is quite big, because I've been there a few times during the day. And, yeah, even like as you go into the back where it kind of goes uphill a little bit, and then you have a choice to kind of swing around to go back to the entrance, or you can kind of go down more, like toward, let's see, if you're facing the entrance, it'll be like toward the right end there, where
yep.
It gets more weird by the minute. And
yep.
Then we have that famous the infamous statue there too, the one with the like the little angel on the cross thing. I can't even remember what name is on that right now, but it's that other known grave. Forgive me for not remembering, but man, there's so many cool cemeteries there. Like, well, stones, I should say. Like, I think one's like a house, one is like a dog. There, and you got like that.
Not to interrupt you, but.
Nope, go ahead.
Have you ever seen the little girl statue there?
I'm wondering if this is the same one that I'm trying to think
of. Yeah, yeah. I believe you're talking about the same little girl. It's the little girl like this.
Yes.
Yeah. The one that likes to have coins on them.
I think her name is Lily.
Well, people like to put coins on them.
Yeah, it's a way of basically saying I visited you, basically. Or,
paying respects.
Yeah. Paying respect. Yep. Which a lot of people don't, or a lot of places don't actually like that sometimes. So, So if somebody mentioned, or there's a point that said, do not read coin, don't do that. Because I kind of understand. Yeah. But yeah, whatever her name is. Yeah. The one that like is kind of like has her hand on or her head on her hand, kind of like she's, kind of like listening, like looking at you, like listening, like like this story's still going on, you know.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's a cool little one too. But yeah, that side of the cemetery is where I'm talking about. Like, even there, you kind of feel like you're well hidden, and that you can blend in. And then you got to like that random staircase near the entrance as well. So I mean, there's a lot of interesting things going on in Green Mount Cemetery besides the weird Black Agus story as well.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, people have stories of just because it's so big, people actually go for walks in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have stories about the paranormal during the day. So, I definitely think that cemetery is one of the most haunted in Vermont.
Yeah, I think that's also the same cemetery where they talk about the statue that cried blood. Unless I am getting it wrong again, but I'm pretty sure this is all.
Yeah,
the statue of the little girl, I know that there was a tale saying if you look into her eyes, you'll feel like a bunch of sadness. But I don't know if that's the same, like, tears of blood that you're talking about.
I don't think that's the same one.
I think the Black Agnes, I've heard the story of you look into the Black Agnes's eyes on a full moon night, and you'll see her crying blood, and then you'll die 7 days. Or something like that. So I don't.
Oh yeah, I remember you telling me about that. I think it was like if you sat on the lap and looked in their eyes.
Yes, that's what it is.
Yeah, there's so many different versions of it, you can't even tell which one is which.
Which, in a newer investigation, there was a point where they're not part of the group, but we kind of like had them come along with us because they wanted to. One of our friends sat on the statue, and we wanted to be respectful, so we obviously, when you do something that you might make a spirit angry, you want to always ask. But they sat on the statue, and we asked, you know, if you would like us to get off the statue, make the EMF go to orange, and it went to orange immediately. And I think that was the last time we sat on the statue. But I think because of the legend, a lot of people sit on it, and I don't think it likes it very much.
Not anymore, yeah, no, because they probably are getting really sick and tired of it, which I don't blame them one bit.
I don't either. So. You're basically sitting on a grave, so it is, like, disrespectful, so.
Very much so, yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all it is a legend. I mean, I don't believe it would happen. I do think now, because so many people have done it, the spirit is going to get mad and cause things in your life to happen, but I don't, or maybe, I mean, we've talked about it a little bit, the Ouija boards, someone could have conjured something there and something like that.
Well, I know there was definitely a Ouija board that conjured up something at Emily Bridge, according to the tale that I also heard. But that's another story. But it's interesting, because I have heard some interesting stories regarding the statue. There we go. Let me cool my head off now. So anyway, what I'm trying to say is, I can think of at least two right now of what I've heard about that statue from way back in the day. And as far as I'm concerned, this is just stories, but, you know, it's part of the legend, which is two people did, in fact, sit on the lap of Black Agus, and one of them drowned within a week later, and one of them did, in fact, get into a horrible car accident. So I don't know if, you know, if that from sitting on the lap, or if that was just coincidence. I mean, I don't know. But either way, it sounds like by the time this has happened with the two people, it was within the same week of when they sat on the lap. So that's probably why they say that if you sit on the lap, you die, basically. You have 7 days, is what I would say. But so, Tristan, let's get you to talk a little bit. So you were talking about how from the notes I have is from the old investigation. So talk to me about the updated investigation. So what happened with you guys? Or would that literally more of what has happened?
So the one that we did was in the daytime. And it was me, Colby, Cameron. Ryan, were you there for that one?
I was not. I was at work.
Oh, okay. And then we had two other people that were just joining us for it. And we did sit on the statue, and absolutely nothing happened. And then later on in the investigation, we did the same thing, but with the EMF and the spirit box. And that's when they told us they didn't like people sitting on the statue, so we got off of it. But we were getting EMFs. There were points where we actually saw someone in the trees, which obviously could just be a person. But the thing is we went towards it, and there was no one in there. There were other things. Everyone has their own kind of opinion about this, but so there's a phone app similar to like the Xbox 360 Kinects. It uses an algorithm to know like how to map a skeleton based off of like a figure. And in the video, I actually had Cameron do a little dance, and the tracking was insanely accurate. But the thing is Cameron started walking towards me, and then another figure showed up behind him. And the very strange thing was, at first, it seems like it was tracking like a grave. But the closer I got to it, the more it was actually on the side of the grave. And it was on like a grass patch. And I remember getting closer to it, and I remember saying, like, don't worry, it's going to be fine. I'm going to get a little closer. And as soon as I took one step, it just vanished. And my first instinct of that was, I'm going to make sure it's not the grave. So I went right back where I was, and I didn't get another figure at all. It was just completely gone. And that's when we started using that app. But we also do get false positives. Like in the video that we did, Nate was holding it. He joined when I joined. He was using it, and we thought that we caught a figure, but we actually caught two trees in the background that looked like it was somewhat of a person that it was being confused with, which in the video we were able to debunk that. We were getting somewhat creepy things in the ovulus, but the thing about the ovulus is it just kind of spits words most of the time, and some of them are actual evidence and other ones are just kind of questionable. Most of the ones that we got were questionable. But that was pretty much it. It wasn't too eventful. There were some EMF spikes, some EVPs, but this was before I knew how to actually take the clip and enhance the audio frequencies. Because if you are, let's say you're doing like an EVP session, if you take that into your editing software, you can boost certain mid and low tones to enhance quieter sounds while decreasing the sound of higher noises. So let's say I was speaking and there was an EVP behind my voice. I could lower the loudness of my voice, but anything that was quiet in the video, I could enhance. And I didn't know how to do that in that video. So I'm sure we got more EVPs and we just don't know about it. But
Yeah, I know that feeling with like Emily Bridge when we went there a long time ago. We feel like we might have caught in a few responses, but the only problem was the water underneath the bridge. So we just kind of made it like inconclusive because there was no way we can take, you know, that sound and really do anything with it. Well, as far as, you know, back in the day anyway, for us, I had no idea to even know where to begin to like try to clean that up, even if I wanted to. So we kind of made a note to self that if we were going to ever do that again, that we would need to try to be outside of the bridge or a little bit away from the bridge, just enough so that the water can't really be picked up as much as it was when we were trying to talk inside of the bridge.
Yeah, what sucks a lot about water is, like, when you're close to it, it's loud, but also there's low volume with the water. And so you can't really enhance anything when there's, like, either, like, a static noise or water, that kind of stuff. Which completely, the noise pollution really completely ruins EVPs.
Yeah, it sucks. But one thing that we did capture on Emily Bridge, which I think I saw you guys do that. I don't know, once again, if that was newer or older, but I did see something about Emily Bridge. But just real quick, so when we went there on a July 3rd night of 2012, I think it was. And we ended up seeing our breath. And we even pulled out the weather app, and it was basically at a degree, which I can't even remember right now off the top of my head, which is sad. But basically, it was at a degree where you should not be seeing your breath at all. And so I looked it up of, like, what is the temperature that has to be, like, what is the temperature needed to be able to see your own breath? and that has to be somewhere around the 45 degrees or lower mark to even see your breath. And we were seeing our breath around like the 60s or so. Yeah, so that was weird. But I ended up getting scratched that night. And the other female we were with, we think, got scratched. I mean, she said she was. There was some weird, like, little red marks, but they weren't as deep as the one that I ended up getting. And so, yeah. Otherwise, besides some interesting captures we got on image, there was one image that really caught me, which was in the middle of the bridge. We had the high beams on, even on the car light. But when I snapped a picture in the middle of the bridge, it almost looked like there was just somebody standing there, almost as if they were like a side profile view. But what was very weird about this was that, like, you could see the teeth, like I could make out teeth, like it was smiling or something, and it definitely looked like in the structure of a male spirit, very tall too. But which is, and the only reason why I bring it up is because we only hear about Emily's spirit. We don't even hear anything about this possible male spirit that is there at Emily's bridge. So every time now I hear something about Emily's bridge, I always bring that up. It's like, well, there is supposedly a male spirit there. So what is he doing? Is he the one that's actually scratching people?
The thing with, and I don't know how it is for Ryan, but whenever I go to Emily's bridge, it's always either a hit or miss. It's either nothing happens, or something happens, or there's one thing that happens, nothing happens, you're there for a few hours, and then as soon as you start to leave, it tries to scare you away.
Yeah,
and I wasn't on any investigation for New England Paranormal Researchers, but I have been on my own with one of my friends, and yeah, I don't think I'll, if we ever do like an up-to-date Emily's Bridge investigation, I don't think I would go do it.
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone between New England Paranormal Researchers and the other team I was a part of, I've gone countless times, and at this point, I don't know if we would go back, not because we're scared or anything, but it's like, what point do we have left to prove there? I mean, we pretty much proven that the bridge is haunted by something. And if you keep going there, at least what I think is there, if you keep going there, something bad is going to happen. And there's no point of risking someone's life for that. So, and I mean, and honestly, if you keep going to the same places over and over again, it kind of gets boring, especially if you're trying to make a video. So,
well, there's a lot of different legends of the Emily's Bridge. And what's really funny is that I didn't tell you, Ryan, but our next podcast episode that we're doing is about Emily's Bridge. So I have a document already made with the legends and stuff. And yeah, there's a lot of different legends here. Like, the most popular one, obviously, was the lady who was going to run away with her partner, and the guy never showed up, and, you know, things happened, and she, you know, took her own life and stuff. But it usually always ends in the same way. And yep. Something that I've kind of gathered from it, and me and Cameron agree with each other about it, is I don't even think whatever there is human.
No, and I want to, if you're okay with it, I want to explain my one experience I had that led me to believe Emily is not the one hurting people there.
Which is exactly why I don't think it's her too, because in one of the images, before you tell your story, we did pick up a like a female spirit near the entrance of the bridge, like outside of the bridge. But so if you're looking at the bridge, if you go across from the bridge from the main road, I'll say, so you're like on that the other side where there's like a little small parking space or whatever. She was in the picture, she was standing on the right hand side, and what was interesting about this was that it almost looked like she was pointing behind us, which is the way we just came from, basically trying to tell us that you need to go back. So, and then I captured that picture of what looks like a man or something, or at least that's what it wants to show itself as or manifest as, is like a man. But, yeah, that's why I'm wondering if it's not her, if it's whoever this guy is.
Well, isn't it? I don't know if this is, I know it's definitely true for the Goatman's Bridge, but I think they also do it a lot at Emily's Bridge. Don't people go there for like seances and stuff?
That is one of the one of the stories. Yes.
Well, yeah. I wonder if that's like they conned, like there's just multiple spirits now that are actually doing this, and everyone just thinks it's Emily.
Yeah, that's what I'm been wondering, because one of the stories that I remember hearing about a few years ago was about how this particular lady went there with a Ouija board with some friends and did like a thing there, but they never closed it. So that could very well be why it's basically out of, you know, like a portal now, I guess, where there is more than one spirit there. As far as I know, there's two, but there could be more for all I really know. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been there in almost 12 years. I've been there during the daytime, but that's about it.
Yeah. So my story is with actually another team before I started New England Paranormal Researchers. And it was in between the first team I was with and this team. And we went there. We didn't even release the video. I mean, the team didn't last. But it was me, Colby, Cameron, and a couple other people we used to work with. And I remember standing on the bridge. Nothing was happening. And then all of a sudden, Colby said he heard growling from underneath the bridge, because he was all the way on the other side of the bridge, kind of near like the main road, you know, how you can look down. And he said he thought he heard growling. And I remember holding the SLS camera and pointing it at Cameron. And there was a dark shadow thing right next to him. And Cameron was saying how he was cold. And this is the middle of summer. And I remember just looking up, and I was like, I know you're not Emily. Who are you? And then all of a sudden, five out of six of us heard kind of like, you know how a witch in a movie laughs? That's the best way I can describe it. And then the bridge, not violently, but we could feel it kind of like swaying back and forth. And so what I came to the conclusion after that experience is Emily is a spirit. And what I also learned is that the Dutton farm was near there. So I think her last name, I think is Emily Dutton. And I think she passed away on the farm. And she's there to protect people from getting harmed by this evil spirit or whatever is there. That's what I think Emily is there. So people might encounter Emily, like, photographs and hearing female voices, but I don't really believe the story of Emily taking her own life. I guess really the only one I might kind of lean towards of being true is her husband or her boyfriend killed her under the bridge because she was pregnant.
Well, that's fair, I think. Yeah, I mean, I just have the story about getting scratched there. My demeanor changed near the end of the night before we left. Like, at the end, it was almost like I felt aggressive toward Emily, which was weird. Because, like, as we were even driving away, I kind of, like, bleeped something out. And I was like, wow, this is not me. Like, this is not me. So, I think I brought on whatever that male spirit was, but I was really there just to kind of see what I could do or capture per se. But, I think what happened was my demeanor ended up changing because when it kind of started to make my other, friend's leg burn, that's when I was like, you know what? No. This is not how it works. Like, the story said it attacks men, not females. So that's when I made myself the target, basically. But afterward, it felt like my whole demeanor changed. Like, I was just so angry by the time I was leaving. And it was just so weird. I've been back there, and I'm fine. But, like, I don't know. Just something about that night. Maybe it was because it was a full moon night. That man was there manifesting. And stuff like that. Like, there was a picture my friend caught of me, and right behind me there was a weird mist. And I wonder if that was the picture right before it like scratched the hell out of my back, because it looked like picture like, you know, somebody trying to grab your back with nails or something, or like, you know, just your fingernails, and just kind of ripped down on the back and leaving marks like that. And there was four markings total on each side. So there were like basically two, you could say like two hand grips, not just one. So, I mean, I don't know. I just know I probably just made that other entity upset that I was calling for Emily and not him and stuff like this. And so I don't know. Anyway, never been back during the night because I said, you know what, I don't need to prove that there's something here when I can see my own breath at like 60 something degrees or whatever. So yeah, so I'm done with this place. So Tristan, so I mean, you know, I'd like to let you talk a little bit to give Ryan a second. So what other investigation were you on with the New England paranormal researchers that you would like to talk about?
I've actually been on quite a lot of them. We've done two investigations of our actual house. The second one hasn't been released yet. I was on the new, like, the Green Mountain Cemetery. I was at Highbridge. Highbridge is one of the most scariest places I think I've been, scarier than the Conjuring House, just because whatever is there, it's not just one, it's like 10 or 20 of just spirits that will mimic your relatives. You'll hear very scary things like, look at all of them, you stay. Or whenever we brought Colby to the into that investigation, we would constantly hear his name from in the distance being whispered. It's very creepy things that go on there, but I think my favorite investigation thus far, it's gotta still be the Conjuring House, but I'm kind of leaning against the morgue. I think I might like the morgue investigation more than the Conjuring House.
And you said that's one of the newer ones, which I think I did happen to see that it was released a few days ago or something like that.
Yeah, that one had I haven't seen all of the older videos, but basically that was the most craziest portal session that I've ever been a part of. It's like that was the first actual time that I think we actually got threatened by a ghost. There's them saying like you're done or he's coming, that kind of stuff. And of course, Cameron is kind of like a demon bait. He doesn't have an issue with antagonizing the ghost, and so he kind of antagonized it. And yeah. He was the one that was threatened.
Yeah, that would definitely do it. You do not antagonize ghosts, but I mean, at what point, though, is it okay to not antagonize one? You know, because especially if they did awful things while they were living, don't you want to kind of put them in their place, even if they're still lingering around?
It depends on the mood. Like, you can feel the mood of the room, especially if you're investigating. The style that we used to have as investigators before I joined the group, me and Ryan have actually already talked about this. They kind of had like a serious take on investigating. But what's actually really strange is recently we've been doing more comedy in our investigations, and it's almost like it's welcoming to the spirits, because we actually get more evidence when we're making fun of the ghost and making fun of each other. And we did this a lot at the Conjuring House, because at the Conjuring House we started off serious and we were getting a lot of stuff, but then there was like I gotta say probably like 4 or 5 straight hours of just nothing happening. And I remember I intentionally don't tell the ghosts that our phones and cameras can pick up EVPs. And I remember it being like 5 a.m. and we were still at the Conjuring House. And I said, by the way, all of our equipment, like phones and cameras, can pick up EVPs. And after I said that, the house was starting to come alive. And we started hearing like bangs. And there was a point where, if you go on an investigation for a very long time, you'll get very tired and you're in like a haunted place. So your energy is being drained. And so there was a point at the Conjuring House, it was like, I gotta say, maybe like 6 a.m., 7 a.m. I was just full on messing with the ghost. I was like making noise and lure us somewhere and hurt us, do whatever you want to us. And then there was a point where we didn't hear anything, but one of us walked away and I was like, congratulations, you've only lured one person. You know, I was just trying to mess with the ghost.
Oh man.
Yeah, I think like we're not name calling the ghost. We're just kind of like joking around with them. I mean, Cameron, once in a while he does take it a little bit too far and we gotta lure him back in, but we're just kind of like just sitting there joking around with them. And like Tristan said, it depends on the situation. I mean, obviously if we go to like a mental hospital, we're not going to do that. We're going to be more serious. We're going to be more serious and just ask questions versus, you know, the Conjuring House, kind of joking around with the spirits, because I guess it's not as bad. All I'm going to say is the Conjuring House versus the movie, real life, it's not that bad. I mean, you're not going to get possessed, I guess, the best way to put it.
Well, that's Hollywood for you. They got to do anything to make bring you in somehow for the horror aspect.
I mean,
I did want to actually... Sorry, what, Ryan?
No, I was just about to say, don't get me wrong, I love the Conjuring movies, but...
I wanted to elaborate more on what mood am I talking about when we're actually serious? And in the morgue investigation, we were kind of like joking around with each other. But when it got to the point where, because when we joke around, there are a lot of times you'll actually hear a laugh come from the spirit box. So that's when we know, okay, we're playing with the ghosts. They're comfortable with us. But there was a point where it turned in the morgue investigation where it started not being as nice to us. And you could tell by the end of the video, we started to get serious again because it was saying things like you're done and very creepy things. And we actually, and this is what I mean again by the ovulus turning from spilling out words to becoming evidence. Cause whenever it said, he's coming, we got on the ovulus saying arrived. And then Cameron started feeling a pain in his chest. And then there was at one point you joked, Ryan, saying, hey, doctor, we need you. And there was a female voice that came from the spirit box saying, done. And we were like, oh, are they done talking to us? And Cameron was like, no, I have a done having a pain in my chest. So, like, yeah, there's, like, definitely some more aggressive spirits and then other spirits that are okay with being joked around with. But we never we never disrespect ghosts. I guess that's where we draw the line.
Right. You're keeping it in the fine line of just like respectful joking and you know, trying to be serious. It, like you said, you're playing off the mood of what it's given off, the building, room, whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if someone has like something demonic in their house or building, we're not going to go in there and try to joke with it, even though I feel like the one person that would be Nate, but I gotta
cut you off real quick. Cause I gotta give some credit to Nate. He's got some balls. Like there was a moment where in the morgue investigation, when the ghost was saying things like you're done or he's coming, there was a point where it turned into a demon voice and it said regret. And Nate went right up to the spirit box and was like, huh? What'd you say? And we're like, Nate, you gotta stop. I'm like, what are you doing? You're gonna get us killed. Yeah.
But, so it definitely, like Tristan said, it depends on the situation. So, and like, even in graveyards, you know, if they want to joke around or a lot of times spirits just want to be heard and we're trying to give them a voice pretty much. So if it makes them more comfortable to be joking around, we're going to do that.
Yeah, they might not even be used to that, to be honest. It's like, oh, this is
exactly
different.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's why at the Conjuring House or even the morgue investigation, they're like, well, wait a minute, what are we supposed to do? We're used to people coming in here being so serious and kind of demanding, and now these people are here joking around with us. What are we supposed to do? And then things started to happen for us because they wanted to communicate and kind of joke around with us. Yeah, I mean, it's working. That way of investigating is kind of dangerous, I will say, because you need someone there. And that's why we kind of got Devin, the skeptic. You need someone there that is going to be serious and kind of watch us. Because something could sneak in. So, and what I mean by that is something, an evil spirit, pretty much. So you need someone there that's not really joking. in case something happens.
Observing the situation, so that way they can kind of get you out in time. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, so far, we haven't had no issues. I guess the biggest issue was at the morgue cemetery when all of a sudden, like Tristan said, it did a complete 180 and it started talking, you know, all this creepy stuff to us. But as you saw in the video, that's when we got serious and like, you know, all right, we're done.
Right. Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, I guess, I mean, we can wrap it up here for now and basically just, I don't know, like, is there any type of closing comment that you would like to throw out to those that are listening, whether it being like skepticals or people who are trying to still consider to start up a group or, you know, something like what, like, I guess for this is year four now. So, like, if anybody wanted to watch your video per se, how can people watch your video? If people wanted to reach out to you, they're like, I don't know, do you guys have like a social media? Do you guys post anywhere?
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, first of all, a word of advice to anyone is I would say just try to like be kind of humorous, because whenever you do, it's not like you're demanding questions from the ghost. It's more like you're inviting them. And in terms of social media, we're on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and we're coming out with our new website and merch. And then we have our own podcast. And I'm currently running all of those while we're getting investigations planned and stuff. But always take precautions as well when you're investigating. There was a point when we were doing, and we never actually uploaded this video, but what was it? It was like, oh, the Jameson's house. The owners told us to go in one by one.
And we did.
And one of us did and lasted way longer than we thought. But you shouldn't do that.
I guess my only advice is if you want to do this seriously, as I've learned and I'm sure every other team has learned, you're going to spend a lot of money doing this kind of thing. You know, just booking investigations. And what was the hardest thing for me starting was to ask, you know, the question, can we investigate? So I guess don't be scared to ask the questions. I mean, the worst case scenario is they're going to say no. All right. Thank you. So.
Yeah. And there's certain things, like when we did get that opportunity to go to the Conjuring House, I was like, this is perfect, because then we could like do the Conjuring House, make it like one of our best videos, and then we could go, you know, around town and say, hey, this is what we kind of do. And I heard this is what's happening with your place. Would you like us to come in? You know, we'll do it for free or whatever. That kind of thing.
I'm sorry for interrupting you, Tristan. That's another thing. We do not charge for investigations. I had people offer me money for investigations. I refuse to take any kind of money or payment. I don't think that's right. Just because if a homeowner is calling you or a business owner is calling you to do an investigation, it's because they're in a time of need. They need your help. They need answers. So I don't feel it's right to be charging someone money. Even though people say, well, you drove 5 hours here, you know, here's $100. No, I'm helping you out in your time of need.
Well, I know a lot of people would consider it like a donation per se. Like you know, like I want to do it because you're donating your time or something like that. I know with investigators, it's not technically a job because we're obviously doing it on our own time. Like you have basically mentioned, and but yeah, maybe that person does feel bad because you know you are taking 5 hours to drive there. So and nowadays with gas being whatever time frame you want to say this video is or podcast is, depending on the price range. I mean, yeah, I mean it gets quite expensive quite quick. So I mean, but you know, you can refuse it, and you know that is all completely okay. Otherwise, if you want to take it like a donation, that's always good too. I mean, look at Wilson Castle. They take donations all the time. I mean, they charge for their investigation too, which a lot of places now do, unfortunately. And sometimes some are more pricier than others, depending on...
Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah.
Well, you also have to take into account all the equipment. It's very expensive, easier to just learn how to make a motion detector, and then like, I can buy this little speaker and put it inside here, and then just program it so it plays a noise whenever the motion detector goes off, you know what I mean? Or attach a light to it, you know, like, it's actually easier to do, not easier, it's harder, but it's like more... beneficial to do it that way. It's way cheaper, way, way cheaper.
Yeah, that's what I was more leaning towards, is the equipment. If you don't know, and luckily we have Tristan and Cameron that are really good at making stuff. If you don't have that, you're going to be spending, probably over $1,000. I mean, I don't even know.
Way more than that. I mean, yeah, even getting like a good camera. Like I was a little while ago, I was I did that whole thing where I showed you why night vision looks terrible. Why is it that like darker spaces look terrible? It's just because of the shades of color. There's just not a lot of shades of color, and it just looks very crappy, especially if you like enhance the colors and stuff in editing. It's very crappy. And so whenever you get like a good camera, those can be pretty pricey.
No, definitely. So yeah, I guess that would be my only advice wrapping it up is, if you're going to take it seriously, get ready to spend some money, not only on investigations, because like we mentioned, a lot of these places are charging people now to investigate, but also on equipment that you'll, even the basic equipment that you'll need. I mean, I think the EVP, the voice recorder that I got is like $50, and it's not even one of the best ones.
I mean, I forgot, but there was... You also have to learn how to buy things, which sounds really weird, but like they could be selling a camera with night vision for like $300, and you could find that same camera on Amazon for like $80.
Yeah.
But the only reason why it's so much is because it's on a website that's for ghost hunting. And so if people think that if they want to go ghost hunting, they'll just go to this website and buy a bunch of stuff. But you should do your research on some of the equipment, because you could find a lot of other cheaper things that actually work way better.
Yeah.
Yep. Shopping around like that is like the best friend you'll ever get. So, yeah. So I know, Tristan, you were talking about some of the platforms that you guys are on, but I did not hear like a handle or
something. Yeah. So we always just go by New England Paranormal Researchers. In any one of our videos in the description, you have everything that you need. But the only other thing that we go by is any PR crew. Sometimes it's any PR underscore crew. But for example, our YouTube is New England Paranormal Researchers. Our podcast is on all of your podcast sites, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that. It's called Legends. We have a free Patreon, which I didn't even talk about this. I'm surprised I didn't even talk about this. A lot of people say I go ghost hunting and nothing happens, but when I watch a video, they get everything. Well, that's because when you go on an investigation and you don't get anything, you're not going to upload the investigation and you're going to edit out all of the super boring parts. So we actually have a Patreon that is completely free, where you can see all of our full-length investigations and you can dissect it yourself, so you know we're not faking anything. Our Instagram is NEPR underscore crew. Our Facebook is just New England Paranormal Researchers. TikTok is NEPR underscore crew underscore official. Someone already took the name, don't blame me. And then Twitter is at NEPR underscore crew.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it from Tristan's mouth himself. Well, gentlemen, it was a pleasure. I mean, I hope you guys, have more future success in the upcoming investigation that you are going to be diving into, which I guess for a little closer, if you can, is there one investigation that is coming up that you can share just for a little taste of what to come for you guys?
Should I do it, Tristan? Like, I'm on the edge of my seat. I really want to announce it.
I feel the same way. The thing is that the only other investigation, it's not even like as big. And we only have like that one huge one planned for. It's up to you if you want to say it.
I mean, we have four investigations planned for summer.
I'm talking about the big one, though. But
the big one.
Oh, you don't have to say the big one if you don't want to.
No, I've been holding on, and I feel like this is the perfect time. We don't have a set date yet because we still gotta finalize everything, but we are actually going to Louisville, Kentucky, to Waverly Hills Sanatorium.
Yes. And
that was when I mentioned Ghost Hunters earlier. That was the live episode. That's what made me want to do this. So we will be going there for our Halloween special this year.
I wish you all the best of luck. Come back out alive and not insane.
We will. We'll try.
All right, gentlemen. Well, thank you for so much for your time. And for everybody else listening, if you stuck around, you guys deserve a cookie and some apple cider and whatever else you like. And on that note, remember to keep your eyes open, because an apparition